We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We are located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Also, June 20th through the 24th, from 6:30 p.m. to 9, we will be doing our Vacation Bible School, Cowabunga. We invite all of you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
1 Samuel chapter 25. And look down in verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions was in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And the word Nabal means the way of a fool, and the word Abigail means the father's gift. And she was a woman of good understanding, of a beautiful countenance. But the man was foolish and evil in his doings. And he was the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did share his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace be to thee, thy house and peace be unto all thou hast. And now I've heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing among them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thy eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand and to thy servants, and say to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal, now look at his arrogance, look at his stubbornness or whatever you might want to say. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh or my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they come? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. Now I've used this scripture, I know, several times probably in my ministry. And I guess the way that I've used it the most of the time is the world's greatest tragedy, and we all know what the world's greatest tragedy is. The world's greatest tragedy is for a man to live upon this earth and enjoy all the good things from God and never accept the Lord as his Savior and die in his sins and go to that awful place called hell. We know that's the worst tragedy that could ever happen to any person. But today we want to look at this maybe from a little different angle than we ever have before. And I want to preach on the beauty and the beast. The beauty and the beast. We all are familiar with that story. We all know that. But I think we're going to show you here not only the outward beauty of this wife, but also I want to show you the inward beauty, and we want to show you the beastness or the meanness, cruelness of this wickedness of this husband. And so here's a biblical story about a wife, a beautiful named Abigail, and her husband, a beast named Nabal. And the theme of the story is not only that one made right decisions and the other made wrong decision, but it's also inspired God on how and when and where to make decision. And God, and that's what this message is going to be about. How that the decision that you make today, how that it can affect you later in life. How that we need to really, really understand the consequences of our decisions. And so, and I want you to understand here, everybody sitting here this morning, that God has a planned future for you. In other words, God has a plan for everybody's life here this morning. But you can do things that will violate your future. And we understand that. And not many people have done things that have violated the future that God had for their life. So if you make a decision that grieves your heart, it'll be a haunting memory for the rest of your life. And don't do something that's going to change your heart and your spirit. So the best thing that you can do is to let God take care of your needs and let Him take care of the Nabals or the beast in your life. So here I want to give you this, the background of this message that I have titled The Beauty and the Beast. Now, Abigail's marriage was probably arranged by her parents. That was the custom of that day. In other words, the parents would arrange for the marriage of their daughter. So the Bible said that she had good understanding and her countenance was beautiful. In other words, what that's simply saying is she had brains and she also had beauty. That's a pretty rare combination anymore. But she had no offense to nobody. But we see that she had that. But can you imagine how she felt when she discovered the beast whom she was married to? Can you picture this evil, mean, cruel man who had a wife as beautiful on the inside as she was on the outside? Now, Nabal did something that was just, I guess you would say it was just plain stupid. And it stirred up David. It angered David. It made David very mad. David was providing protection for his sheep and for his herd and providing protection for his family and all those things. And it wasn't costing him anything. But when David needed some supplies or provisions for his soldiers and his army, so he went there and sent them there to ask Nabal for some help. So David had already killed Goliath. And he had men with him who knew what it meant to do business with evil people. Now, David told his men to put on their swords because they were going after Nabal. When Nabal said, "We're not going to help you," who does he think he is? Who is the son of Jesse? We're not going to give him anything. And boy, that angered David. And David said, "We're going to deal with him tonight. We won't worry about taking a little bit from him. We'll take everything that he has. We'll not leave one thing there standing that belongs to Nabal." 400 men girded up their swords. And these were the best fighters in David's army. And no one wanted to mess with them. They were marching toward Nabal's house when word came to Nabal's servants that David's men were coming. So the servants went to Abigail, and they told her how that he railed on these men, how Nabal had did this, and that something terrible was going to happen. So Abigail went out to meet David. She gave him one of the most beautiful speeches that you'll ever find in the Word of God. And the truth of what she said moved the heart of David. And that truth ought to stir your heart as well. The Bible says, Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Bear in mind that if David had gone on with his mission, there wouldn't have been one person left standing, because David would have slew every one of them. If he would have continued on, because there wouldn't have been one, because of those that belonged to Nabal would have paid the ultimate price for what he'd done to David. Now let's look clearly at some of these things. The first thing I want you to see, look in verse 3. I want you to see the ugliness of Nabal. It says Nabal was cruelish, or cruel and evil in his doings. And so I've known some really, and I know that you have too, I've known some really evil men in my life. Some very wicked men. So, and what has shocked me a lot of times in knowing those men, I have found out that some of those men had some of the sweetest, prettiest, beautiful wives that they could have. And I never could understand that. I never could understand how could such a mean, wicked man end up with such a sweet, beautiful wife. But I've seen that, and I'm sure that you have probably seen that too. And every time I think about that, I want to challenge young girls. We probably don't have many here this morning, but the ones that we do have here this morning, I want to challenge you to be careful whom you marry. Be very, very careful who you marry. If they don't follow God's directions for their lives, you'll end up with evil, mean, and cruel husbands like Nabal. And not only that, but he was unkind. Nabal was a man rich in this world's goods, but he was bankrupt as far as his character was concerned. He was serious. He had a serious, serious problem. Verse 12 was spoken to Abigail by his servants. And this is what it said, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all of his household, for he's such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Have you ever seen somebody that wouldn't listen to anybody? Have you ever seen somebody that when you tried to give them counsel, or you tried to give them some direction, or you tried to give them some advice, they wouldn't listen to you? They think they know everything. Wouldn't listen to anybody. So here the Bible said that a man could not even speak to him. He was unreasonable. And so, and let me give you some verses that explains what the son of Belial means. Deuteronomy 13:13, "Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known." Sons of Belial is those who serve other gods rather than the true and the living God. Then in Judges 19:22, "Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man and come into thy house that we may know him." Then 1 Samuel 2:12, "The sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." 2 Corinthians 6:15, "What concord has Christ with Belial?" The son of Belial was a wicked, wicked man who would not serve God. A man who had literally gone against the nature of what God created him to be. The servant said that he was such a wicked man that no one could talk to him. Can you imagine this sweet, beautiful, God-fearing woman married to such a man? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine such a wonderful woman as Abigail married to such a man as Nabal? And so, not only was he was unkind, but he was unthankful. He was unthankful. When David's men came to him, he said, they said, "We protected your flock. We've kept anything from happening to your flock. We protected your flock. We took care of things for you." Now, Nabal gave a mean, unthankful answer. Look in verse 11. "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed for my sharers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they come?" So the servants, they went to Abigail and said, look in verse 14 through 16. "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conservant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." So David's army provided protection for us. David's army took care of us and our flocks and our herds and all that we possessed. Didn't allow any of the thieves or anybody to come in and take anything that was ours. So this man of men were with David, had actually protected Nabal's flock, and they made sure that nobody took anything that belonged to Nabal. Every time somebody would come to take one of the sheep, David's men would run them off. So the servants went to Abigail and told her that these men were good people. They had protected them, and their master had lost nothing because of protection of David's men. So in their day, it was customary that if somebody had done something for you when you shared your sheep, you had a feast, you gave them something. That was the custom. That's what David knew were the custom. That's why David sent unto them. That was the custom. We provided a service for you, so the custom is that you give us something for the service that we have provided for you. So it's not unusual for David to send to Nabal and say, "We protected your flock. Do what's right in your own eyes." Nabal, in his cruel, evil, vile, unthankful way, said, "Why should I give you what I want for myself? I don't even know your men." I want to say this, as humbly as I know how to say, a Christian, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, you are to always be kind. There's no reason not to be kind. God always wants us to share with what we have with others. Unfortunately, there are some who won't give anything. But an indicator of a Christian's walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and how serious that it is and how real that it is what he's willing to put on the altar of sacrifice for others. That's important. That's an important thing. Nabal answered David's kindness with hostility. His mouth got him in a lot of trouble. Now let me say that to you today too. And I want to say the same thing. Over the years, my mouth has got me into a lot of trouble. And I'd say everybody here could say, I understand that. Over the years, your mouth has got you into a lot of trouble. In other words, sometimes it flaps without thinking. But listen, we see here he was about to find out. He said, "Who is this son of Jesse?" He's about to find out who this son of Jesse really was. What a day would have been. He would have lost everything. He would have lost everyone. And he would have lost everything. He was unthankful. Boy, listen. That's the same way I feel today. How can any person walk upon God's green creation, breathe the wonderful air that God has given us to breathe, go out at the night and sit on the porch and enjoy the stars up above us, In the daytime, enjoy the sun, the warmth of the sun that God has given us to shine upon us. How a man or a woman could enjoy those things and not be thankful to a God in heaven, I don't understand. I don't understand. It's like Nabal. It's foolish. But David and his 400 men were marching toward Nabal with the intent to kill every single man and take everything that he owned. David wasn't right in doing this either, but he was mad. He was angry. He was stirred up by the blatant insult that Nabal had offered. Not only was he unkind and unthankful, but he was unnatural in his affection. Look, Nabal, a son of Belial. So he said that a man cannot speak to him. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard the man of Belial, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. I said that Nabal means the way of a fool. Nabal loved no one but himself. He cherished nothing but his own possessions. He was his own God. He served himself to the exclusion of all others. So there's the beast. Pretty good description, I think, of a beast. And then we want to see the beauty. The beauty of Abigail. Look in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What made Abigail so special was that her real beauty was in her heart. What made her, yes, she was beautiful. I know she was beautiful on her outward appearance because the Bible said she was. But what really made her beautiful was what was on the inside of her heart. And so she had love and kindness. Look in verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. Abigail was going to be a blessing to David. Verse 23 and verse 24. When Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the words of thy handmaid." Abigail was simply saying in layman's terms, "David, don't kill him. If you must kill somebody, then take me. If you require the death of someone because of the way that you've been treated, then I'm willing to die that you might spare Nabal and the people." Threw herself at the feet of David and said, "If you're going to do anything, let your anger be upon me." My, my, my. Abigail loved those who were going to pay with their lives for what Nabal had done. Abigail knew that it wasn't the servant's fault. It wasn't those people's fault that she loved. It wasn't right for them to die for what Nabal had done. But she said she was willing. Abigail loved those who were going to pay with their lives for what Nabal had done. Her love and compassion had not been tarnished by the beast whom she lived with or married to. We often see people who marry evil people and soon they become evil themselves. I've seen that happen more times than I'd like to say that I have. But it's amazing how God protected this woman around that beast. She lived with this man who was so vile and so cruel and so unkind, and yet she was still kind, loving, compassionate. I've seen so many Christians. I've seen so many preachers. I've seen so many young men and women who had a great, glorious future for God, who lost it all because of one thing. Will you listen to me this morning? It just takes one thing, one bad decision to mess up your whole life. It just takes one bad decision to mess up the future that God has for your life. There's a lot of beasts like Nabal in this world. They don't always convert the beauties to whom they're married. And what a testimony that is. Abigail not been tarnished by her vile, wicked husband. She still cared about people. She still loved people. So many of our young people come from homes that are not Christians. And we can't even imagine in our schools some of these children come from. We can't even imagine some of the terrible, terrible things they must hear and experience in those homes. I want to say this. That's why it's good to have Christian school teachers and Christian people working in daycares and all these kind of things. It's possible to live for God no matter what circumstances in which you live. Is that not right? You don't have to become like those that you're around. You think about the conditions in which some people, especially children, are living. Wonder how in the world can they remain holy, clean, and pure. The story of Abigail ought to encourage every single person to remain that way. This vile son of Belial to whom she was married, as wicked as he was, he never tarnished the beauty of his wife. David was going to be hostile and torment and punish a lot of folks because of one man vowed and so. So Abigail laid herself at his feet and asked that he punish her for her husband's sin. What a heart this woman had. How much do you love people who are paying the price for others? Now look, she had wisdom and understanding. I'm not going to read all that down through there in verse 25 through verse 29, but you can mark that and read that when you get home. She knew what David had done to Goliath. She had reminded him that God could do to his enemies what he had already done to Goliath. David, you don't have to fight this battle. God can take care of this. God gave Abigail wisdom, and through that wisdom, she knew three things that would move David's heart, would turn his rage to compassion. She knew God gave her wisdom. And through the wisdom that God had gave her, she knew three things would turn David's heart of rage to a heart of compassion. The first thing that she knew was that David, one day, that David would be king. Look in verse 30. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She said, I want to remind you that God has something wonderful for your life. Could I say to everybody here this morning, God's got something wonderful for your life. God has something wonderful for each life that's here in this church house this morning. He's promised he's going to bless you, she's saying. He's promised he's going to use you in a mighty way. David, don't forget that God is still God, and his plan and purpose are still true. God said he'd bless you and he'd put you on the throne of Israel. David was God's man, and she understood that he was a good man. She reminded him that he had a glorious future with God. You should never do anything that would hinder what God can do with your life. I hope you're hearing what this preacher is saying. You should never do anything that would hinder God's future for your life. Right in the middle of David's rage, right when he was ready to go shed blood and do things that would not be pleasing to God, God sent this beautiful woman with an ever-understanding heart, a sweet spirit, a soft answer, to remind him that God had a plan and a purpose for his life.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church or our upcoming Bible school, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org. We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church or our upcoming Bible school, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.